Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Again, I want to thank the Children's Sunday School for singing today. You guys just did a wonderful job, and we appreciate you enlivening our spirits today with your music. So thank you for that gift. A person has to learn to see. It doesn't just come naturally. But someone also has to make an effort not to see. The gospel account about Jesus giving sight to the man born blind raises a lot of questions. The man isn't named in the gospel, so I like his designation. We'll just call him the man. How could Jesus give power of sight to someone just by putting mud on his eyes and telling him to go and wash it off? Why do people so often, like Jesus' disciples, assume that a disability like blindness must be due to someone's sin? And did God actually cause the man to be born blind, so that years later, God's works might be revealed in him? A sermon could be devoted to each one of those, any one of those questions, but it would miss the whole point of the story in John's gospel. Those questions aren't unimportant, and I'll just refer you to Eric Stancliffe's Bible class of a week or so ago. It's on the website, and you can find John 9. To answer some of those and hear a wonderful discussion of some of those important questions. But the gospel at the very beginning tells us the light of all people shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And from that point on, there are a number of references to light and darkness, which also suggests the ideas of being able to see as well as not being able to see. And we're told that those who are illumined by the light, Jesus Christ, are brought to know the true God and have the fullness of life. So in the third chapter of John's Gospel, there's a conversation between Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, which might seem to be a minor detail, but John's gospel often operates on different levels. There's obviously an obvious meaning of the text, and then there's a spiritual meaning. Nicodemus may have come to Jesus after the sun had set, but he also comes as a person with some lack of spiritual insight. He just doesn't get what Jesus is all about. And this is shown by the fact that when Jesus speaks of the need to be born anew, Nicodemus is puzzled, thinking what he's talking about is being born a second time in the usual biological way. In reality, Jesus is referring to being born of God's Spirit. But Nicodemus is beginning to be enlightened through this conversation, as you hear later in the gospel. In our text, in the ninth chapter of John, we begin with sight being restored to a man who had never seen before. That's the obvious meaning of the story. But there's a point that's usually overlooked. There are cases in which sight has been restored to a person who was blind from birth. We might think that that person would immediately jump for joy, shouting, "This is fantastic! I can see! It's beautiful!" But you know what? It's not always that simple. What does this completely new sensation even mean to such people? Did you ever think about the fact that they'd have to learn how to judge distances? Or relate previous sense experiences of objects to this new visual input? I have to imagine that was probably very confusing. Some might adjust to that very quickly. Others might have a harder time. And this isn't entirely different from the way it's been for every one of us. We all started out as babies, and the vision of newborn infants is quite underdeveloped and takes time to mature. All of us must literally learn to see. That's also true of the man in two different ways. He must, like a new baby or any other adult whose sight's been restored, learn to use his eyes and understand this new ability and what it tells him about the world. But while he can now see the light of sun, there's also another light that he may see. The one who said to his disciples before performing this sign, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Will this man who was previously blind see this light and come to it? This man, the man, has not been trained in the law of Moses, or at least not to the extent the Pharisees had been. And when he's examined by the Pharisees who are trying to find a violation of the law, of that law by Jesus, he can't debate with them. But when they ask him what he thinks about Jesus, he uses the best category he knows from the Jewish tradition. Jesus, he says, is a prophet. That's a pretty big deal at the time, because the general belief was that prophecy had come to an end in Israel for many centuries. When the man is called in for questioning a second time, they pressured him to say something against Jesus. Again, remember, he's not a sophisticated theologian, but he's still a better one than those who are harassing him. Refusing to be bullied by them, he insists that the remarkable thing that Jesus has done, something that no one's ever done before, counts more than legal questions on healing on the Sabbath. Jesus, he says, must be from God. When spiritual sight is restored, God doesn't just leave us on our own to learn how to use it. After the man is expelled from the synagogue by his angry interrogators, Jesus seeks him out. He asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, but the man doesn't know who that is. When Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man, the man might have expressed doubts about the man standing before him being that heavenly figure in Jewish tradition. But instead, he believes and he worships Jesus. Oh yes, he's seen the light. We can learn to see, but we can also learn not to see. People will sometimes refuse to look at pictures or documents that might force them to reconsider their views of things. You've seen someone, maybe you're one of those folks who have faced a new insight only to cover your ears and go blah, 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 because you don't want to hear it. The Pharisees who have been questioning the man and his parents in hopes of proving that Jesus had broken the Sabbath rules were not completely without light. They knew, of course, about the whole history of God's dealings with the people of Israel. A long and heated conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees in the previous chapter of the gospel had begun when Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So they certainly knew what Jesus was claiming to be. And even though they'd been criticizing Jesus and disputing with him, his act of giving sight to a blind person could have caused them to rethink the matter. "He really opened the eyes of the blind," they could have said. "Maybe we've been wrong about this Jesus." But they didn't. They continued to insist that they were right and that they had all the light they needed. And as Jesus says when they confront him at the end of the story, not being able to see is made much worse by insisting that their spiritual sight is just fine. I know I might be painting with a broad brush here, but it is kind of interesting to me today how many people claim to be in search of political justice and mercy while at the same time engaging in violence and profanity and destruction of property to make their point against those who disagree with them. It does seem to be a little bit incongruent and inconsistent with their cause, doesn't it? Well, that's especially bad news for those who stubbornly refuse to acknowledge the one who is the light of the world. But that not need be a permanent condition, because Christ can and does continue to take the initiative even with a hardened opponent. He did that with Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as the Apostle Paul. He was once a zealous persecutor of the young Christian movement. But on his way to Damascus to arrest believers, Saul was knocked to the ground by a light from heaven. And by this encounter with the risen Christ, he became the greatest of missionaries in the church, in the early church. There is a huge lesson there for us. Christ never gave up on the Apostle Paul, and Christ never gives up bringing the light of his grace and mercy to us as well. My friends, our encouragement today from this story is let us remain in that light as the man born blind, so that the light of his glory may be reflected in our lives, holy lives, resulting in a holy witness. May it be to the glory and praise of Christ our Savior. Amen.